2 minutes early? Let's do it 2 minutes early. That gives me an extra 2 minutes to preach. Is that correct? Yes, that's correct. Okay, good. Then let's start 2 minutes early. That sounds good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Wonderful to see you. Welcome to Bayshore Gardens Community Church. Welcome to everybody checking in on the internet. You guys say good morning to them.
Good morning.
Awesome. Well, welcome. Happy Mother's Day. Would you stand as we sing Standing on the Promises? Is that what you're standing on this morning?
Yes.
You sound fantastic. You sound really good. Here at Bayshore Gardens Community Church, we are trying to get two things right. And when we get those two things right, we move on to some other stuff like how long the pastor's hair should be. But until then, our focus is on loving God and loving others. Right? We put it on the wall in case you forget those four words, because sometimes we need a reminder, right? So glad that you are here to celebrate Mother's Day with us. Would you turn to a couple folks that maybe you don't normally say good morning to and tell them good morning? right, all right, all right, all right. Y'all may be seated. For children's time, I thought we might take a minute to acknowledge it's a big day in a lot of house. In fact, someone already told you and told me Happy Mother's Day, right? So I thought it might be fun to kind of learn who some of the moms are, who some of our spiritual mothers are in the church. And this is always, I figured out who's going to win. A little bit of competition. Moms love competition. Hold on a second. Marie Gartley, are you here? Dang it. Marie's got a good shot at winning one of these. But not this one. Not this one. Newest mother. Marie, that is not you, is that correct? Yes. Oh, you got your nails did. Me too. I manicured them. Look at that. Look how perfectly round they are. Isn't that nice? I didn't put polish on them, but I rounded them off. We match. Anybody? Hey, Jeannie, how old's Gator? Anybody have a child within the last 34 and a half years? All right, we got Jeannie, you got to raise your hand. Wow, that's true. Anybody have a child within the last 8 years? Brandy Duvet, our winner. Come on. You guys want to clap for Miss Brandy? Sometimes, many times on Mother's Day, people travel to be with mom. So whoever traveled here the furthest this morning, we want to recognize. I know who it's not. Right? I had a pretty short commute. So, okay. Where did you come from? 1,300 miles. 1,300 miles. Pfft, somebody can beat that. Can anybody beat that? No way. That's fantastic. She's your Nana. We're clapping for her. Yeah, you're over here next to Valencia. Perfect. All right. Good. Who are the Sunday school teachers this morning? You're going to have a good time. All right. Get out your calculators, your abacus. Yes. Oh, who traveled the farthest? You think it's Dane because he's still coming? I want you to remember that and say that at breakfast because that's not bad. That's pretty good. We're going to start adding up. Children, total number. Grandchildren. Great. Grandchildren. If there was a family dynamic, if you got a stepchild in there, here's the criteria. If this young person expects on their birthday money from you, you get to count them. You get to count them as one of yours. All right. If a dollar bill is not getting it done, if they're wanting more, then that's so. That total number. Have you added it up roughly? If you have got 10 or more in that herd, would you stand up, please? Neil, Roy. Mother's Day, Roy. Oh, no, stay standing, ladies. If you got 11 or more, if you got 12 or more, stay standing. Isn't this amazing? If you got 13 or more youngins, 14, wow. And y'all do not look that tired. Where were we, 14? 15. If you've got 15 or more, stay standing. I know, so sit down. Father's Day's next month. We guys, man, we just, I want to be recognized. I feel the same way. 15, 16 or more? 16, 17 or more? This is amazing. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, quarter of a century, 25. This is fantastic. Okay, here, at this point, we're just... From you four ladies, we're just gonna hear. What is that total number? One. Wow. 33. I told you ladies love the competition. Wow, congratulations. That is wonderful.
I have counted all my children, grandchildren.
Yeah, yeah, we know. We know.
I have 32.
That's wonderful. 28. That's a good. These are amazing numbers. So what that tells us is that if we're needing some kind of motherly, grandmotherly advice, love, encouragement, these ladies got it. They got it figured out. They got wisdom. They have got grace. They've got love. And I hope that all of you ladies get a well-deserved nap today. Thank you very much. Congratulations. We're going to send you all off to Sunday school this morning. Hey, we'll meet up and have breakfast later. All right. I love how competitive it gets really quick. Yeah, yeah, we're all about loving God and loving others. I'm first. It only takes a minute. Awesome, 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 just to see. Let me do this now, because that's phenomenal to recognize, and we do celebrate. And if you have not gotten a flower this morning, we want to give you one, ladies. Although, Sal, if you want a flower, we will give you one. And this is a day typically we celebrate. This is also a day where we sometimes miss that Mother's Day is painful for some. For those who do not have a mom, for those who didn't get to become a mom, and there is pain with that day as well. And so for those who are affected in that way, we stand with you. Just wanted to make mention and honor that it's not a super fun day for all of us, but we say that all are welcome, and we say come as you are, and that means come in your celebration, and it means come in your hurt, and we're going to love you regardless through all of it. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 16. And it will appear on the screen in front of you. We'll read responsively, and I will start. I'll say, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. For you will not abandon my soul. Amen. In your presence, there is a fullness of joy. And my prayer for you this morning is that you would know that a little bit more today. We are talking this morning about, this is an, are you aware of the definition of irony? The sermon this morning is on maturity, given to you by a 42-year-old who acts like a 14-year-old. And the premise of it is that even though grace is amazing, and that as we prepare to come to this prayer of confession where we all admit, I need forgiveness, because forgiveness is so real and so readily available, sometimes it would be easy to slip into thinking, I'm forgiven. I'm always forgiven. But grace is not an excuse for immaturity, right? God loves you just the way that you are. God loves you too much to let you stay that way. And so I encourage and invite you to join me in the prayer of confession, which will appear on the screen. That'll be followed by a quiet time for you to spend a quiet moment in prayer. Prior to that, let us pray. Lord, high and holy, meek and lowly, you have brought us to the valley of vision, where we live in the depths, but see you in the heights. Hemmed in by mountains of sin, we behold your glory. Let us learn by paradox that the way down is the way up, that to be low is to be high, that the broken heart is the healed heart, that the contrite spirit is the rejoicing spirit, that the repenting soul is the victorious soul, that to have nothing is to possess all, that to bear the cross is to wear the crown, that to give is to receive, that the valley is the place of vision. Let us find your light in our darkness, your life in our death, your joy in our sorrow, your grace in our sin, your riches in our poverty, your glory in our valley, through the grace of the resurrected Christ. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear now the words of assurance, the pardon of the gospel from Psalm 30. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Amen, amen. This is the good news of the gospel. Let us stand as we respond by singing the church's one foundation.
Thank you.
Hey, would you think about doing something before you sit down? You sat down too quick. Would you just bless somebody as on your way down and just turn to somebody and say, "The peace of Christ be with you." And they'll say it back to you if they love you. All right. Thank you for that. Ariana has something that she wanted to tell you, and she thought about it during children's time. She told all of us, and so it's just a surprise. It was really funny. It was a funny moment. You have to laugh. Okay. You have got this morning in your bulletin a sermon outline, because I'm trying to work on selflessness and loving you, and I know that you appreciate these. So the marks of a mature person. What is it? What are the marks of a mature person? Is it gray in the beard? Nope. If only it were that easy, right? Is it age? You know, when you reach a certain age, right? Some of the ladies are going, "I don't know, my guy's pretty old and he's still immature." Yeah, we are. Perhaps one of the greatest problems in the world is immaturity. The number one marriage problem is people just need to grow up. People act immature. We get ourselves, and if this has ever happened to you, feel free to say amen. You could admit it. It'll feel good to let it out. We get ourselves into all kinds of problems by saying immature things. Making immature decisions. Acting in immature ways. We just need to grow up. No amen there. All right. We went 3 for 3. It was a good run. God's will for every person, which includes you, is that we would grow up. In Hebrews 6:1, it says, "Let us go on to maturity." That's God saying, grow up. And that's why one of the purposes of Bayshore Gardens Community Church is to help everybody grow spiritually, emotionally, mentally, in every way, and have a balanced, Christ-centered life. So what then is maturity? How do we know when, if we've arrived? Let me tell you what maturity is not. You've already gotten this one. Maturity is not age. It has nothing to do with how many birthdays you have celebrated. I suppose it's possible you could be a Christian for 50 years, still not be mature. Have you seen the bumper sticker? Because in Bradenton, we have a lot of bumper stickers. It says, "I may be getting older, but I refuse to grow up." Have you ever seen a 60-year-old kid? I have. Maturity has nothing to do with age. Granted, God's ideal would be that as we grow older, we get more mature, but that's not always the case. Maturity also not appearance. Some people just look mature. Right? I know a guy. His name rhymes with Justin. But he always kind of looked mature. And at the gas station on a Friday night when he snuck out of the house, by the age of 14, they stopped carting him at the gas station to buy cigarettes and beer. Some people look mature. Also, some people look more spiritual than the rest of us. Some people kind of look dignified. They look like they're holy. For the rest of us, it's just tough luck. The fact is, you can look real spiritual and not actually be spiritual. Amen? Amen. Again, maturity has nothing to do with achievement, with what you accomplish. You could accomplish a whole lot in life and still be pretty darn immature. You don't have to be mature to make $1 million. Maturity has nothing to do with academics. How many degrees you've gotten, how much education you've gotten. Anybody else fall into this category? I fell into this category. When I was 18, I graduated high school, and I was certain I knew everything. Yeah, and then I went to college, and I took a class called organic chemistry. And I learned real quick that I had a lot of learning to do. I did not know that much. Then I went on to grad school and got a degree in seminary, law school for pastors, and I realized how much I really do not know and how much mystery there is and how important faith is. God says maturity is determined, and this is a fill-in for you, by attitude. Attitude is what makes the difference. It's your character. D.L. Moody said, character is what you are in the dark. Recognition is what people say about you. Your character is what God sees you doing. God says it's your attitude that determines whether you're mature or not. God wants you to grow up and have a Christ-like attitude. So how do you measure spiritual maturity? Here's how you don't do it. Not by measuring yourself to other people. That's not the barometer, not the measuring stick. But by comparing ourselves to the Word of God. In the book of James, in the New Testament, trivia time, who's going to get it? We're going to figure out who's mature real quick. James had a significantly famous older brother. Anybody? What was his name? Those of you who said Jesus, correct. Very good, very good. Dan, you knew it, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I knew it. So mature. It's the beard. It looks mature, too. Look at us maturing together by appearance. Uh-oh. You give him an inch, right? I love you. What are you doing? It's really fun having you back. Oh. The word mature in Greek, just for fun, is teleios. And it translates as mature, but also complete. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a work in you will continue it on. Which means that you and I get to hang a sign right here that says, work in progress. Right? Because that's what I am. Maturity means complete. All right. 5 marks of maturity. You ready? A mature person, number 1, is positive under pressure. James chapter 1, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Consider it joy when you face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Here's a question for you to think about. How do you handle when it hits the fan? How do you handle trials? The first test of maturity is, how do you react to problems? Do they blow you away? Do you get nervous, uptight, negative, lash out at people, grumble, gripe? How do you handle problems? You've heard me say once or twice that Christianity is not a religion. It's a life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, right? And life abundant. Jesus did not say, I have come to give you a whole bunch of rules and systems. He said, I've come to give you life. In life, that means problems. Life means solving problems. And it means facing them with the correct attitude. So what is your natural bent when things don't go right and you're irritated? Are you negative or are you positive? Are you basically a supportive person or are you skeptical? Is your life filled with grumbling or gratitude? James says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Fact, you can be great in the knowledge of the Bible and ornery as all get out. Are you affirmative? Are you positive? Are you grouchy? Number two, a mature person is sensitive to people. James chapter 2, verse 8. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. A mature person doesn't just see their own needs, they see other people's needs. A mature person understands people's hurts, not just interested in themselves. Paul said, I may win all kinds of people to the Lord. I may build great church buildings. I might be on television. I might give my money to the poor. But if I have not love, I am as a sounding brass cymbal. It just doesn't amount to anything. That's Dustin's paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13. Jesus says, Matthew 25, at that judgment they will stand before the Lord and they'll say, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. And we will say, Lord, when did we do this? When were you sick? And when did we visit you? And when were you in prison? And when were you thirsty? And when did we give you a drink? And Jesus says, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Interesting to me that in Matthew 25, the judgment, the one thing we'll be judged for is how we treated other people. Not how many Bible verses we know, not how many times we were in church, not what our reputation was, but how we treated other people. Number three. Maybe just take your toes, pull them back a little bit. I don't want to step on them enough to inflict pain. But sometimes truth and grace can sting a little bit. Number three, a mature person has mastered their mouth. The first thing I'm feeling like I sound like I swallowed a bullfrog or something this morning. Got a low voice. Right? You like it? All right. First thing a doctor will say, if I go for a checkup and I go, I'm feeling a little bit something in the sinuses here, you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, stick out your tongue. He uses your tongue to check your health. God does that spiritually also. In World War II, gentlemen, there was a saying, loose lips destroy lives. They hurt. Definition of gossip: hearing something you like about somebody you don't. Self-control comes from tongue control. We get ourselves into so much trouble at what we say and what we think and what we speak. Right? In the book of James, James says, our tongue is like the rudder on a ship, a bit in a horse's mouth, a spark, a snake, a spring. He says you put a little bit in a horse's mouth, and that little bit can control the direction of the horse. Little tiny rudder on a boat can control the entire path and direction of the boat. Your tongue, which by size, compared to the rest of us, is pretty small, controls our life. What you say directs your life. What you say can destroy your life. It can delight people's lives. It can crush people's lives. Your tongue, you see, is a powerful force for good or for evil. Have you ever heard anyone say, well, I just say what's on my mind? Like they're proud of it, right? I just say what's on my mind, like I'm better than everyone else. Being frank up front, they say what's on their mind. Maybe there's not a whole lot on their mind. Maybe what's on their mind shouldn't be said. The Bible says that's not frankness, that's immaturity. There are plenty of us that could use a large dose of tactfulness. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any negative talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs. James 1:26, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Whew! Speak the truth in love means the right attitude, the right timing, the right place, the right location, and the right motive. Number four, a mature person is a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. James 4:1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? He's talking about conflict. He says there are inner quarrels and fights, and they come from our own inner desires. You want something, and you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, and you do not have because you do not ask God. Ask yourself, am I a peacemaker? Am I a troublemaker? Do I like to argue? Do I get defensive easily? Do I hurt other people's feelings? Am I a peacemaker? The mark of a mature person, wait for it, is the lack of conflict in their life. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, y'all are a bunch of babies. This is a paraphrase. It's a little bit loose in the Greek. They argued about everything. They argued about the Lord's Supper. They argued about spiritual gifts. They argued about leadership. They argued about the color of the carpet. They argued about everything. That's a mark of immaturity. Why is there so much conflict in the world? Why is there so much conflict in your relationships? Why is there conflict where you work? Why is there conflict between you and a former friend? Why is there conflict between me and another Christian? Why is there conflict between me and God? Why is there conflict? James says there are two reasons for conflict. James 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive, but you ask with the wrong motives that you might spend what you get on your pleasures. So the first cause of conflict is selfishness. When I want what I want, then I'm going to have conflict with somebody. The issue is pride. How do you know if you are immature? Take a look at your prayer life. If your prayers are always self-centered, God bless me, God prosper me, God protect me, God use me, God help me, God this, God that. If that's the entirety of your prayer life, then that's immaturity. How often do you pray for other people? How often do you sit? Amen. Wait for God's leading. The other source of conflict is judging others. Judgmentalism. All of us are guilty of judgmentalism. God says, do not judge. If you do this, you're asking for a fight. You're always finding fault. You're always stirring things up. Always spreading rumors. Yet God says, do not judge. Go ahead, push back. Why? Why should I not judge? Well, a couple reasons. One, you're not God. When you judge somebody, you're playing God. There's only one judge, only one lawgiver, and it's God. It's not me. It's not you. Number two, only God has all the facts. I don't, and you don't. And if I judge you, guarantee I do not have all the facts. Number three, I do not know all the motives, and you don't know either. You absolutely cannot know what is in somebody else's heart. You do not know. Only God does. So only God has the right to judge. He has all the facts. He knows everything. He knows the motives. He sees our hearts. He's got the truth so he can judge, but we are limited. We do not have any right to judge. God says selfishness and judgmentalism cause conflict. The fourth characteristic of a mature person is whether that person is a peacemaker or a troublemaker. And God says judgmental people are immature. Number five, a mature person is patient and prayerful. James 5. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. As you know, we consider blessed those who persevere. As you leave church, maybe you notice that we've added a couple trees over at the parsonage, a couple fruit trees. And all three of us have had out loud this conversation of, you know, we went through the process, you know, you dig the hole, you put the tree in, you put the dirt on, throw some fertilizer on there. We love taking turns going out there and watering them. And Kate and Grace and I will go out there and just stare at that mango tree. It's been 3 weeks, Dad. I know. When are we going to get mangoes? I know. God always answers your prayer, but there is a difference between no and not yet. Just because that tree doesn't have any mangoes on it now doesn't mean it's never going to have mangoes. Please, Lord, please. Many times God will say to you, not yet. God is not saying no. He's saying not yet. The difference is, you know, the other night, right? I was making dinner, and we're all hungry, right? And which is a dangerous time in our house. We all suffer from an affliction called hangry, right? It's this cross between hungry and angry. And I mentioned to the children that your friend and my friend Percy had made some homemade ice cream, right? And he dropped it off, and he was testing out some ice cream. He wanted to give it to the kids. And so as I'm making dinner, I was like, oh, guys, I forgot to tell you. Mr. Percy came by. He made ice cream for you. And, of course, as I'm making dinner, they said, may we have some? And what did I say? I said, not yet. I didn't say no. I didn't say no. There's a difference between no and not yet. Many times God will say to you, not yet. He does not mean no. He doesn't mean he's not going to answer your prayer. He is just saying, I want you to grow. I want you to develop. I want you to mature. Now, I know up here that if that tiny little mango tree started making mangoes, those little tiny branches would snap off. Not yet. It's just not time for that. If anybody was patient in the Bible, it was Elijah. Elijah was patient. He was prayerful. Those are the marks of maturity. What are the tests? How do you handle problems? Do you get uptight? Do you get negative? Do you grumble? Do you gripe? Do you complain? Are you positive under pressure? Are you sensitive to people? Are you concerned about others' needs, others' desires, others' cares, others' hurts, or do you only see you? Do you only pray for yourself, or do you pray for others? Number three, can you manage your mouth? I believe this also applies to text messages, emails, and social media, by the way. Can you manage your mouth? Somebody went, dang it. Have you learned to put a muzzle on it yet and sometimes just not speak? When you have that juicy tidbit of gossip, and it's tempting because knowledge is power. What do you do? You can damage people just by making an accusation. Managing your mouth is a mark of maturity. Have you learned, like Ephesians says, let no corrupt communication, see, there's the text in the email, no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only that which builds up for the edification of others according to their needs. Number four, are you a troublemaker or are you a peacemaker? Do you have a tendency to stir things up? Do you love to make drama? Do you have a trigger temper where somebody can tick you off? Do you carry grudges? Do you find yourself holding on to bitterness? Or are you a peacemaker? Number five, how long can you wait for an answer to prayer without giving up? What if God has every intention of giving it to you, but God is waiting for you to grow and mature? So that when that fruit comes, your branches are strong enough to hold it, not snap off. When my babies were this big, and they were in the stage that I call the sack of potatoes. So you could just kind of pick them up and carry them anywhere they wanted to go, right? It was great. Kind of. You know, they get heavy after a while. But one of the greatest blessings of being a parent, and those of you who are parents have seen this, one of the greatest blessing is watching them grow and mature. And I know that as much as I cheer for my own babies to grow and mature, that our God, our perfect Heavenly Father, cheers even more and more and more that we too would grow and mature. Amen and amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this lesson on maturity. We pray that the words that are from you would stick with us, and the words that are just from Dustin, that you would help us to forget. Help us to identify and walk with us in these areas that we need to work on. Our attitudes, our actions, our words, our thoughts, our relationships. Help us, God, to grow up, to be more like you. This is our prayer. We pray it in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who has taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." As the ushers come forward and the music plays, this is the time for our regular church members to respond by giving our tithes. If you are a guest here this morning, we encourage you to let those plates pass right on by. And for all of us, as we meditate and think upon God's grace and God's goodness, we consider how we might give our lives to God more fully. Dear God, you are the giver of all perfect gifts. We pause. Think of your goodness. Thank you, God. We think of your grace and your faithfulness. Thank you, God, that we will never know a moment apart from your presence in our lives. In order to say thank you, we offer back to you our lives. Guide us and use us to make this world a better place, to shine your light and love. Amen. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I was on, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Well, I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Love you already. I'm so glad you found us this morning. We're going to keep you. I'm speaking on. Oh man, we'll fix that later. I got some duct tape in my truck. Just a couple announcements, and should they sit for them? You have an announcement. Would you like everyone to sit for it? Roy and your crew, you have worked tirelessly. And won't it be fun for, here's what I imagine, you tell me I'm wrong. Some of you have been coming to church here for a long time and you're not sure what somebody's name is, but you've been coming here so long that now you would be embarrassed to go, I know we've been going to church for 34 years together, but what is your name again? But now you can just get the directory and you can go, oh, Neil, of course, you look like a Neil, yes. You can just walk up and go, hey, Neil, good to see you this morning. It's going to be great, and we appreciate that resource. I want to remind you again about the Helping Hands ministry that we are starting. If you could do some light labor and helping things for someone who might be in need of those. So we need helpers, and we need people who need helped. And as big as is your imagination in terms of what you could offer, we can use you. We need you. We want you. I want to invite all of you to the best free breakfast in town. I know sometimes you want to take mom out for Mother's Day. Do that for dinner. Breakfast is free here. You don't have to tell her it's free. You can tell her, you know, you got her the good seats. But please join us. Remember that Ariana had a joke she wanted to tell you. And we're going to meet back here next Sunday at 9 o'clock. Thank you for coming today. I want you to come back. May I bless you with these words. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go from this place, God is now sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has purpose in putting you there. And the purpose is this. God wants you to grow up. Believe this. Go from this place certain of God's grace, God's love, God's power. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Lord bless you all real good. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Trading my pain, I'm yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. His joy is gonna be my strength. Though my sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes in the morning. Yeah. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yeah, yeah. Have the joy of the Lord come and be my strength again.
La 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 la.
Oh, I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.